Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle from The Way It Ought to Be. The sacrifices that General George Washington and his army made in fighting the War of Independence, they were half-clothed, half-fed, half-frozen, and many a time only half-armed, many a time almost fighting without any ammunition, out of gunpowder and so on. But they continued to march forward in faith, relying on God for help. One of the most impassioned and eloquent speeches ever given by mortal man was that of Patrick Henry's, given at the Second Patriotic Convention of Virginia, March 1775. Those who heard it were left stunned. Following is a reconstruction of portions of that speech from actual witnesses who heard it. "Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of those forces which the God of nature has placed in our power. Besides, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations, and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, let it come. It is vain to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Speaking on the behalf of our founding fathers, they had a fighting spirit to have a free nation. On June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia asserted in the Continental Congress that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. On June 11, the Congress appointed Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Robert Livingston, and Thomas Jefferson to draft a declaration supporting Lee's resolution. It was decided that the task best be done by Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson eagerly went to work on the declaration, and after many hours of work, presented his document to the Continental Congress on July the 2nd, 1776. Wasn't on July the 4th that he presented it, it was July the 2nd. The Continental Congress adopted Lee's resolution, in which the colonists declared their total independence from Britain and severed all political ties with Britain. John Adams, later to become the second president of the United States, was so pleased and excited that he wrote his wife expressing the view that Americans ought to commemorate this memorable event. His letter stated, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Yes, by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And I hope that we as America, across this nation, will do that tomorrow on July the 4th. I hope that we will, and I repeat this again, go before our God and repent of breaking His laws and bringing our nation to the state that it's in. Things aren't the way they ought to be, my friends, and I hope that we will begin as individuals to change our lives and bring our lives in line with His Word. He goes on to say here, it ought to be celebrated with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forever. Now, we don't have any trouble doing the latter, do we? But it seems to be that our trouble is going to God and giving God thanks and repenting of our national sins and of our personal sins and asking God to bless this nation. After the Continental Congress approved and voted for American independence on the second day of July, the rest of that day and the following 2 days were devoted to a close scrutiny of Jefferson's draft of a more detailed declaration of America's independence. The Congress made a number of minor changes, plus one or two important deletions. After these alterations, the Continental Congress finally approved Jefferson's Declaration of Independence on the evening of July the 4th. That's why Americans celebrate their independence on July the 4th, not on July the 2nd. Well, my friends, liberty and freedom is what we all want, isn't it? And our Constitution was founded on the principles of the Bible, on the principles of truth, if you will. And had we remained loyal and faithful to the original intent of our Constitution, things would be a lot better for us today. We may need to ask ourselves, are we as free today as we were after the War of Independence was won? Think about that. Are we as free today as we were at that time? Are we living as close to God and His Word today as we were at that time? I don't think that's too hard to answer, is it? When we look and see the state of our nation, the crime, the violence, the rape, the murder, and on we could go. And I don't have to do it because I think you realize the day that we're living in. Notice what James has to say about liberty or freedom. In James 2, verses 8 through 12, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Now that's something that we need to repent of, is the fact that we don't love our neighbor as we love ourselves, that we aren't concerned about fellow man as we are for self. If we were, things would be a lot different today. Things would be much closer to being the way they ought to be than the way that they are. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. What law is he speaking of here? For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Now James goes on and tells us what law he is speaking of. We don't have to guess. He tells us, for he who said, do not commit adultery, yes, speaking of God's commandments, also said, do not murder, yes, another commandment. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Yes, God's law, obeying God, is true liberty, is true freedom. And that is what will set us free, my friends. Yes, that is what will set us free. Notice in James 1 and verse 21 through 25. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself, my friend. Don't just hear the word and go on in your daily routine, in your daily customs, in your daily way of life, and not change your way of thinking, not change your attitude, not change the way that you treat people. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But if he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his deeds, be blessed in what he does. Yes, if he is not a forgetful hearer, but if he continues to look into the law of liberty and live by it, this person will be blessed. Yes, this person will be blessed indeed. John 8 and verse 31. Notice what Christ had to say here. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Notice, if you abide in my word, if you walk in my word, if you walk in my law, you are my disciples indeed. Now, the other side of this, my friend, would be that if you don't abide in his word, if you aren't walking in his word, if you aren't living by his word, then you aren't his disciples. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, if you abide in the word of God, and you walk in his word, you are his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God gives you understanding, as I have said before on this program, as you live by what you know that's true. God adds understanding to you as you obey what you do know, what you already have, what you already possess. John 17 and verse 17, just over a few pages here. Notice what Christ has to say. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God says we are set apart. We are sanctified by his truth. And he says his word is truth. And as James brings out, and as Christ brings out, and as God brings out in other places, that his word is what sets us free. His word is liberty. Living by his law is real freedom, my friends. You know, this nation would be so free today that we'd hardly recognize it if we had lived by the law of God. Now, we've had a certain amount of freedom in this nation. And thanks to God that we have had, thanks to our forefathers, that they had the foresight to write our Constitution in the way that they did, and that they had the bravery to fight the War of Independence to gain our freedom from an oppressive nation, England. We can certainly say thanks, and we can rejoice in that. Notice what God has to say in the book of Isaiah here, Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Now, as we have been saying, things aren't the way that they ought to be today. But here's the way they will be, my friends. When God the Father sends Jesus Christ back to this earth and begins to teach people that perfect law of liberty, this is the way that it's going to be. Notice Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, that's in the end time, my friend, that's when Christ returns to this earth, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Yes, God will be the King of Kings in that day, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way, and we shall walk in his path. Yes, he will teach us his way, and we will walk in his path. That's something that you can be doing today, if you will. That's something that our whole world could have done, but we haven't. That's something that our nation could do. We can still turn and begin to walk in the ways of our God. And things will become then for this entire nation and for you personally, if you only do it on a personal basis, the way it ought to be for you. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, yes, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Yes, that day is coming when we won't have to gain our freedom by fighting, my friends. We will gain our freedom by living God's way, because God's way and God's word and God's law is true freedom. And that's the only way that we will ever have true freedom. If you want to know more about true freedom and true liberty, call for our free booklet, Kingdom of God. What does that mean to you? Just dial 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.